Hello and welcome to another Thursday night on WATD 95.9. This is Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio, and joining me tonight is a special guest that I'm excited to talk to. It's Lisa Schecksnyder. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Absolutely. Lisa is the manager of outpatient behavioral health services at Phoebe Putney Memorial and the health system that exists there in southern Georgia. So you may have recognized just a slight southern accent for those that may be listening to us from the north. But you've been there for quite a bit. You've been at Phoebe over 20 years.
Yes, ma'am. I started Phoebe 20 years ago. I'll have my 20-year anniversary in October. Started here in behavioral health and have never left. I've moved my way up from actually being the front desk person that checked in the patients and went back to school, got my degree, and became the manager of all things outpatient here at Phoebe. So I am long-term dedicated employee of this health system.
Oh, that's nice. And I think a lot of folks that do work in health systems do tend to work a long time, and particularly in long time in that health system, and particularly those in rural areas, very dedicated to the patients that they serve in their communities. So tell us a little bit about the patients that you serve and the community that you exist in rural Georgia.
So we are located in Albany, Georgia, which is about 3 hours south of Atlanta, probably about an hour and a half north of Tallahassee, Florida. We're a rural community. Our health system is the biggest employer here in our area. The population that we serve is we have a high degree of African Americans in our area, and we serve, children, adolescents, adults who don't necessarily have access to mental health care, and so we are kind of the we're kind of the go-to people here in our area to be able to seek these services. We have all specialties across our organization, and I'm proud to say that psychiatry has been one of those that has stood the test of time over these last years. So we see a lot of foster children in our service area. It's a big issue here. We see severely mentally handicapped, a lot of depression, especially after COVID. We came on pretty strong, which I know as we get into this conversation, we're going to talk about telehealth and how that has really expanded our services to meet the needs of our community. We do a community needs assessment, and every year for the last 20 years, mental health has been one of the top three needs in our community. So as we go on, we are trying to, service that need here. It's a challenge. We do partner with a community service board that we have here in Albany, as well as another practice that is an NHSC site, National Health Service Corps site. So we are also a National Health Service Corps site, and I can, get into that a little more, but our area has a big need. That's why we're here. It's what we do every day.
Yeah, I think a lot of times folks that are in rural areas too, and the community that you particularly serve, there's a barrier for mental health services as well and getting those services. So we'll talk a little bit about your telehealth program and how you're able to bridge that gap. A lot of times there's stigma associated with just going into a building that might say behavioral health on it. So being able to get those services via telehealth can be really a huge value to the community. And we have talked to Phoebe before, and some of you are listening may remember Phoebe was one of the kind of ground zero for COVID. Unfortunately, that's the circumstances where there was a funeral and a celebration after a funeral, which set the COVID vaccine virus, excuse me, just going crazy there in South Georgia. So you and your colleagues at Phoebe really did a yeoman's job of helping your community through that disaster and that public health emergency. Let's talk about telehealth a little bit, though, and what are the types of services that you currently do via telehealth in the behavioral health space?
So I have, let me tell you a little bit about my team, and so you'll kind of get an idea of what we do. Currently, I have two psychiatrists. One is a child and adolescent psychiatrist. The other is an adult psychiatrist, and we will be adding to that to my team in the upcoming months. I have psychiatric nurse practitioners. I have licensed professional counselors. And so the type of services that we provide to our patients via telehealth is medication management from our psychiatrists and nurse practitioners. And we also provide therapy services for our patients. Of course, we have an opportunity to do so much more. And so as our future comes, we're hoping that it will bring services such as group therapy services to our patients. We're expanding on that daily. But at this very given moment, we do medication management and therapy services.
And medication management is a perfect use for telehealth and behavioral health services and medication-assisted treatment, part
Yes,
another
sir.
perfect usage for the health behavioral health services. And I think what people might value from understanding is you talked about the clinicians that you have on your team and the type of folks that might be involved in telehealth. Sometimes I think it's hard for people to understand who can do telehealth. When can I do it? Is it just when I'm sick, when I can't get to the office? And are they able to do telehealth in behavioral health in a behavioral health setting at any time? And how does Phoebe handle it?
For us, a telehealth visit is if you were just walking in our front door. The convenience of it is, though, you can sit at your home and, be in a nice private area where you're comfortable and do that visit. And I think that's what's really been fantastic for our patients. Another area that we really excel at is our kids. So, mom will go pick them up from school. They'll pull over in the parking lot, pull out their phone, and they're able to do that telehealth visit right there in their car. And of course, they don't need to be driving, but it's the
They
convenience
pulled
of it.
over, they
Yeah,
stopped.
they pulled over. That's kind of one of the things we ask them to do. But so, you can do it, all day, just as if you were coming into the office. But it really, really, really has helped our youth. We don't want them missing school. We want to make sure that they can, get their medication as they need it. They have to be seen. A lot of our kids are ADHD patients that have, stimulants, and we're very, very strict about how often we see those kids. And so we really start out with every new patient comes into the office so they can get all of their consents form, everything signed. And then from that point, once they're seen in the office, then they can go forward and do telehealth. We do bring them back once a year so we can update our documentation for them. And I do have staff that actually sets up that telehealth call with them. We do telehealth in two different ways. Actually, we do it three different ways. I don't know if you want me to get into that, but I'll be glad to go ahead and
Please.
speak to it. So we have two providers that are actually employed by Phoebe Health System, and they live in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And we have two telehealth carts set up in the office in a telehealth room. And the patients present to our front desk, and we escort them into the telehealth room, and they see the provider there on the screen. Then my providers that are here in Albany in person, they actually do telehealth by calling the patient at home. And then those providers that are in Atlanta, they also call patients at home. They use telehealth. So we're reaching out in every way we can to try to make this possible. And it has, it has exploded over the last year. People are just really, really, really enjoying the comfort and the ease and the opportunity to see their provider. And I'm proud to say too that we usually have, next day access to our providers if there's emergency situations. The other thing that's really nice about telehealth is, you've got the caregiver, you've got the daughter who's taking care of her elderly parents, and mom can't get in here. She's just having a really tough day. And so instead of canceling that appointment, we're like, hey, why don't we do telehealth? And so we convert that in person to that telehealth appointment. The patient gets served. The daughter's feeling really good because mom's got her medicine. Mom didn't have to get out and get in the weather or whatever the case may be. And so we do convert from in office to telehealth. And it's just worked out really, really well for us all the way around.
And it sounds like you're, as you said, allowing for lots of flexibility. So that could be, as you said, patient in your office, but provider is via telehealth. Maybe provider is at home and patient is at home, or provider is in the office and patient is home. Because there are lots of different combinations. And I know that there have been a lot of benefits to utilizing telehealth to help providers, particularly in this space, to help understand where they are, where are they living, what are their living conditions? There can be more relaxed. Some people have, the white coat syndrome type of stuff, and they really don't want to be there. They're kind of ready to go versus being on screen at home. They can be more relaxed. They can be in their own surroundings. But
I
it
think
just
one thing, oh, I'm sorry. I
no.
think one thing that I was going to point out too is, in some cases we have patients that have phobias about being in public. And we've had several of our patients that, have social phobias. They don't like getting out large crowds. And I'm going to tell you, we've seen a lot of success with telehealth because at least we are taking those our services to them and helping meet their needs, as and also, understanding what barriers they have in actually coming into an office. So we've seen a lot of success for that. That's one of the highlights of telehealth for me, is being able to
Yeah,
bring that to those people.
lots of flexibility, and as you can tell, you're serving your community, so that's important to you. But we do have some patients that want to come to the office. They want to be there to visit. So what have you seen in terms of adoption between adults and adolescents and maybe even older patients in your community?
So, the adolescents, they're so accustomed to the screen and the computer and the phone that it's nothing for them. It's like FaceTiming. Success with that. Success with the younger generation, who has no problem navigating that computer or that cell phone to get the link and link up. But you're right. There are some people who like that. I want to go to my doctor because it is an outing for them. It's like getting their
Right.
hair done every week. As my mama used to say, she's gonna go get her hair combed every week. And that was the highlight of her week. And then her and my daddy would go out and eat lunch every Friday. It was a thing. And so that's kind of how it is going to your doctor. Some, especially in the geriatric population. So they like to get out. I've got a wonderful staff. They come in and they visit with the staff and they visit with the nurse and they visit with the doctor and sit in the waiting room and have conversations about, how the weather is or whatever the case may be. And believe it or not, we might be the only people they see for that week or maybe that month.
Right.
And so as I've trained my staff, I make sure they remember that. And so, as a patient walks in the door, we might be the only smile they see. We might be the only human interaction they have. So let's make it the best that it can be. So, I'm proud to say that we offer, a lot of flexibility, but I sure love our geriatric folks because you can just see that they get all dressed up and they, I mean, it's a big deal. And so that's probably the biggest difference is seeing that a lot of those like that, you know, one-to-one interaction with everybody in the office.
Yeah. So it does offer the flexibility for geriatric patients, for older patients. You might need to take advantage of that in the case that you mentioned, like, I can't make it today. I'm not feeling well today. I fell yesterday and I just don't think I can do that. But when you're in this situation where you can make it, and then you don't end up with a no-show, right? But when you can make it to an appointment, sometimes that is part of the mental health of that patient, is to actually
Absolutely.
see people and to talk with them and to be interactive in the office. So that is a phenomenon that we see. We are social animals, humans. So this is a perfect example of that. And they haven't been, as you said, trained as well as some of the younger generation on screens and all of that, especially this
So
new alpha generation that's coming up. I think they'll be the first generation that won't even know a life without screens.
right. The one thing I do want to say too that we've had a lot of success with is we do see child and adolescent. So we do have a pretty decent population of patients with autism. So one of the things that really helped us when we started talking about telehealth and doing telehealth is some of our autistic patients, you know, it's very difficult for mom and dad or caregiver to
Yeah.
bring them in the office. And so it has really, really, really helped that population to be able to have them at home where they're comfortable, where their surroundings are familiar, where they can be seen and not be disruptive in a setting that, you know, can be sometimes high energy. And so telehealth has been phenomenal for those patients as well. The parents have just really, really appreciated the fact that we can come to them that way. And
I can
it's really
imagine.
helped it's helped that population a lot as well. And so that's our main objective here is we want to bring the services to them however way we can. And we want to do it safely and comfortably and you know, and helpful.
And to your point, you've been doing telehealth for quite some time, even prior to COVID. So one of the rare institutions that had telehealth even before we sort of were forced into it. How has how have your telehealth services changed from before COVID, kind of pre-COVID state? That's kind of how we measure things, right? This is the
Yes.
COVID life, post-COVID life. So how are your telehealth services different pre-COVID versus where they are today, and where do you think you're going to go next?
So we started telehealth in the most, I guess, simplest of ways back in 2012, I believe, 2013. So yeah, we were doing an oversight of medication management for a small intensive outpatient program in one of our rural areas. And so it was quite antiquated, if you really want to know the truth about it. But we got the feel of it. We understood. That's when we really started stepping into this and realizing what a benefit it was, you know, to patients. And since then, oh my gosh, I mean, we've grown, we've gotten, you know, much better in learning how to document, much better in learning how to, you know, ensure that the physicians are comfortable with it. We've expanded into our rural areas. Currently, we are seeing patients over in a small town called Sylvester, Georgia, at one of our primary care clinics over there. And that is truly a place where they need psych services, and it really helps that the patient doesn't have to travel all the way into Albany. I mean, it's 40, you know, maybe 40 miles, not even that long, but you know, the opportunity of having taken it to them.
That's a quite a bit of a drive back and forth out of your day, out of your work day.
It is, and especially if you're seeing somebody that, you know, in the geriatric population, that can be a lot for them. But we have come a long way. I mean, in telehealth itself has come a long way. We, you know, the documentation piece, the making sure that we get everything The education, I think, is the main thing, is teaching our patients to be comfortable with it, helping them to understand that we can bring it to them. And psychiatry, I think, is a little different in that, sometimes people do like that personal interaction. When, but we've learned to educate our patients about what telehealth is. And to me, that has really helped us to expand what we do. But the technology has changed, how we are, I mean, it used to be that we made a cart, literally a cart with a little laptop on the top, and had, it was, I mean, I just look back and compared to what we have now, is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, we used to advise to do things really inexpensively and put it as an iPad on a stick on an IV pole, and we've gone to completely, much better technology now.
Absolutely. We don't have a use for using stethoscopes or anything like that in our practice. But I've seen those carts, some of them have, they can, take blood pressure. They've just got it all. And then personally, I use telehealth for my primary care physician, it has expanded our services twofold. I'm proud to be a part of it. I really am.
That's great. And I think for your organization and for any other organization that's listening on this and to this interview, and they'll see that there's lots of different ways to do it. There's flexibility to it, and you're serving your community in the way that you need to, and you're bringing access to those patients. What we see a lot now is, push towards health equity. We know that there's a lot of social determinants of health that are out there, including with telehealth, broadband, which we've talked a lot about on this show, the challenges in broadband. And I know in rural Georgia, you've got, broadband challenges. But it's great to see, Lisa, the work that you and your team are doing to bring this much needed healthcare to your community. So now that you've, accomplished everything, now your next is to solve world peace. But before then, tell us what your plans are, next for telehealth. Are you planning to expand? Where are you going next with it?
Yeah, so some of our future plans that we're hoping to put in place is definitely getting into our rural communities and our primary health care clinics there that do drive a long distance to be able to get psychiatric services. So expanding our telehealth services into more primary care clinics that are part of our physician group. And hopefully it would be great if we could start doing our group, doing a group via telehealth. I think one of the things that we'd love to do is do an LGBTQ group. And for the safety and the comfort of those, that would like to be a part of that group, I think it would be great to do it telehealth right there in their, in their the comfort of their home. We're hoping to partner up more with our primary care folks to be able to have better access for them, that especially we have a residency program here, and a lot of times those residents might have a question that they really would like to get that psychiatrist input, and so maybe putting a telehealth component into that would be good. So I think we've just got a lot of opportunity. I'm hoping that we can grow it and grow it.
Sky is the limit for sure. And it does allow you to bring specialists into areas that you wouldn't necessarily have them, like you talked about in Sylvester. They probably don't have as many psychiatrists or psychologists in that area. You're able to bring those specialists to the area. Lisa, it's been a pleasure to listen to the successes that you have had and your team have had at Phoebe. And thank you so much for sharing your story and the work that you do tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. We'll see if we can't follow up with you and see what you're doing next year. You'll probably be expanding out beyond the walls of Georgia into Alabama. We'll see where you can go next.
Awesome.
putting some of those programs in the in place that you talked about that I think will be really important. A pleasure to have you on the show. We'll be right back with Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio right here on WATD 95.9. We are the smartest show on radio.